Hello, my name is Amaka. Thank you for joining us on this edition of She's Healed podcast. This podcast is a platform for women who have survived and healed from intimate partner violence to tell their stories of resilience, forgiveness, and healing. We also seek to help and encourage women who have been through the same to heal. This week, we have yet another story of a beautiful woman who has healed from IPV trauma. She shares her story of how she was able to forgive and overcome. Let's listen to her story. Dr. Lukoya literally vindicated me that day. I felt like an alleged and condemned criminal set free. That was how I felt. Said to him, if only you knew the depth of the gift of God, that God created her like this, and gave her all the gifts that she has for the kingdom, for his own kingdom, that even if I was a witch, I could not have made it, that I could not have gone through all the checks, all the pastors that were before him. Because you would probably pass through 10 pastors before you get to him. You know, they would have prayed. So I went through all of them before getting to him. And he gave him a caution, you know, more like, nurture her, take care of her. Let her, you know, come into all that God has called her to be. But he was not in a position to lead me in that direction. So this has to do with spiritual maturity. So that was how we left the office that day. So we had a quiet drive back home. And I had so much lost myself that I didn't even know who I was anymore. So I began to refine myself. So I got home in my heart. I was like, oh, so Laura, I'm not a witch. Okay, all these things I see. I had always known as a child. So they were beginning to come back to me as this is truly the hand of God upon my life. And for one day, he just called me and said, do I remember the dream I had December 2001 that the father said XYZ? I said, yes. He said that it's true that the father told him to send me out. Like I said, he only beat me up once. And so I kept quiet. And I remember that it was in the month of June. And he just called me from the blues. Meanwhile, God had been showing me the frequency with which God was. I began to see separation. I began to dream. I began to have a form of unrest. I began to see the house that we were living in. It turned to mud. No, of course, not physically, but in the spirit. And I would be like, what am I doing here? The house began to sink. So I knew something terribly wrong, and I knew I was in the wrong place, but I didn't know how to get out. So one day he just called me and said he was tired of pouring water in a basket, and that another woman was already carrying his baby, and he gave me 1 week, 7 days to leave his house, to pack out. Bottom line, that was, so he packed out and he never came back. I think I had about 2 more months before the tenancy ran out of that house. And that was how the marriage disintegrated. And after a while, I was served a divorce notice. And as at that time, I had to speak to my parents and my siblings, and they all rallied around me. I had family support, siblings, love, everything. Love just intensified. And my father said, don't ever contest. No, my father called me that I should come home to Ibadan then. And I went to him. And he asked a question, that if he comes back, would you take him back? And I said, never. That it was a mistake. He said that was what he wanted to hear. But there's nothing to go back to. Never did he say, remember, I warned you. They all just... If I'd known that they were going to wrap their arms around me and hold me and encourage me and wipe out my tears, I'd have gone back home earlier. I almost ran mad. I'm being sincere with you. I was working with British American Tobacco then. I would go to the office, put on my computer, stare at the screen, try to read, and nothing would make sense. I was losing my mind. I remembered very well. Long story short, that was how he left, and he never came back. And I started life with my sister. So I started living my sister. And now let me quickly talk about forgiveness. So everything mellowed down. I kept on going to work as a separated person. And I remember precisely, I think it was 3 months or 6 months after he had left, I had an encounter with the Lord, and he came to me. Long story short, he told me that I should forgive, and God called his name. I struggled with the Lord. I actually felt hurt because I wanted vengeance. I was missing. I wanted revenge. I wanted terrible things. I wanted mosquitoes and lizards to bite him. I just wanted cockroaches to eat his whatever. You know, and you're laughing. But God doesn't do those things, you know, because he was also. And I've grown to see that he's equally as important to God as I am. And so all this while, I didn't fight the divorce, I didn't quarrel, I didn't look for him, I just kept my peace. And then here, God coming to tell me, it's time to forgive him. So I struggled with God. Remember the story of Jacob when he struggled with the angel? I struggled with God. It was an overnight experience. And God just kept on saying, you need to forgive. So I started to repeat what he did, how he hurt me. For the first time, I started to cry. And I was like, how could you do this to me? He did this, he did this, he lied again, he did this. I never defiled my body with him, he did this, he did, you know? And I was crying. And I was saying, God, you're supposed to punish him, but you're coming to me to forgive, telling me to forgive him. You know, I don't know how God did it. But I found myself saying, okay, God, I will. God, I will obey you. Okay, I forgive. And I called his name for the first time since he left. And God told me, I heard it clear. God said, begin to pray for him and bless him. Darling, let me say, that one had me. So I said, well, God, wait. You said you forgive, I forgive. Now I should start praying for him. And God said, yes. I hesitated a while. And I said, are you? Wherever you are, it is well with you, spirit, soul, and body. I just started praying, and from nowhere, it was as though there was something descended upon me. And I had strange utterance. I would speak in tongues, and I would interpret, and I was releasing blessing upon him. And I found myself saying that, I decree and declare, are you in the name of Jesus, that it is well with your wife, she will deliver strongly, no evil will come near your children, you're blessed, you're going out, you're coming in. Scriptures started flowing, scriptures of blessing started flowing out of my spirit. Every time I hope to laugh, and I was screaming, hallelujah, no evil will come around you. I surround you with the blood of Jesus. You will not cast your child, your young, before the time. You know, with long life, God satisfied. And I know till today that those blessings I released upon him, they have come to pass in his life, and they will be sustained. But do you know what else happened? Maybe I think that thing went on for like 1 hour, that encounter I had. It got to a time I started to laugh in the spirit. I was rejoicing. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then I saw like, you know what a catsuit looks like? Now imagine if you were wearing a nude catsuit that's really close to your skin.
Mm-hmm.
That you pull out, nobody would know that you were wearing a catsuit. I saw myself walking and I saw that, but now it looked like a catsuit, but it was now made of metal. And I saw, as I was walking, I saw it. I took it off from my, I stepped out of that garment. Like metal woven together. And they looked like a catsuit garment. I didn't even know I was wearing it. And that was how I became free. And all this happened, he left mid of the year, 2002. I think the encounter happened the same year. Then in 2007, 5 years after he came to my office and he tried to stage a comeback and I said, no. How did he trace me? My job then, I used to do press conferences, so you would see me in the newspaper, you would see Laura Olui, the vice president, Lekki Concession Company, you know, so I was all over at the newspaper then. So it was easy for anybody to track me. So that was how he knew I was working and he came. I remember the security, he came after hours and the security said to me, madam, I remember, I think I was doing my PhD, University of Liverpool, so I would stay back, work in the office, and then you have a guest. I said, bring him in. I could never have thought it was him. And I saw him and I said, Ayo. Oh, he looked so sober. I wanted to come in. And I said, how are you? He said, he's not fine.
By this time, will the divorce concluded?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But oh. How many years after the separation did this happen?
I said 2007.
Okay.
He came to my office 2007. And I think, so he abandoned, he didn't follow the divorce process. So I picked it up. I got a lawyer. They picked it up in 2006 to conclude it or to complete the process. So he came 2007 when I saw him in my office. You know, and he came and I was just looking at him and I was just smiling, just asking, how are you, how's your family? And he couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. And he had always had a good job. He was working with an oil company then. I said, how are you still at the oil company? He said, yes. I said, how's your Christian life? And then he said to me, at this point, you know what he did? He went on his knees with tears in his eyes, and he was begging that he didn't walk him up with him, that he had lost everything precious to himself. Blah, blah, blah. I said, I'll get up. Please get
God up. His wife and child, what happened to them?
I had not asked him at that time. I was still asking about his Christian. So I said, how's your walk with God? It was at when he went on his knees and started to beg and said everything. He didn't know what he was doing. It was as though he was under a spell. So I begged him to get up because it was embarrassing. I was in the office. And I asked, is it okay if I lead you back to Christ in case you've lost it? He said yes. So I stretched forth my hand and he held my hand and I led him back to Christ. And I smiled after I'd finished praying for him, you know. And he said, if only one thing. I said, what? He said, if you could come back as my wife. I said to him, Ayo, I am sorry. I need to apologize to you. Then I told him that all the while, God told me you were not my husband. But out of stubbornness, I went ahead, you know. So I also apologized at that point for disobeying God. And I told him, but even then he didn't want to listen. He said, yes, we've all grown, we've all made mistakes, but he wanted. So I said, how about your wife and children? He said, as at that time, I think he said, I'm not sure. I don't probe. What you tell me is what you tell me. I think he said something about maybe he was in the third marriage or something like that. And I think he had had, like, I'm not sure. had, but he didn't sound like he had someone at home. So I told myself, you know what I want you to do? Go and pick up that woman that you left me for, that gave you a son. Go and make up with her. I said, I go and build your home. I remember that. And then I told him how God instructed me to pray for him and his family, his new family. And I said, go and do that. So he left. He still had my number. And then I realized that the following day he called and he wanted to turn into a routine. And I said, no, because I understand from God. It opens up relationship.
Yeah.
So I let him know I'm blocked. So I told him, stop calling, he'd listen. The last time I said, I'll have to block you. And it's because I need you to go and make your home work. That was the first attempt. The second attempt was 2010. When he called me from, I just got back from England, by the way. You know what he said he was doing? Apparently, this guy was trailing me. So he knew where I live. So he called and I said, I saw you, you just got back. What happened to be? And I said, what, how did you know? And he said, for all these years, from 2002, that he knew when I packed to my sister's house, he knew when I would leave the house and go to work and leave work and come back home. And I said, you did this for 8 years? Why? He said, you didn't know, but you just couldn't leave, you know, just like that. So he said he wanted to, that he couldn't leave me, and that he had spoken to his parents about, to his dad and his uncle, that he wanted to go and beg. You know this Yoruba thing? When you want your wife back, you take all the older men in your family, whatever. And then they went to my parents' house in Ibadan to beg them to take me back. But my parents chased them out and said that there was nothing to, that they should never come back. That ticked him off. And I said to him, I said, Aya, there's nothing to go back to. It was a mistake. And that I believe that it is time for you. Invest in your family. Rebuild your home. Take care of your home. And that was it. And I think he got the message at that time. So that's my story. I hope that somebody out there in the world would get to hear this. Would learn something. Because most times, let me take that back. Every time, God would always want his children. It is for us to listen.
Yeah.
He does. Does this help?
Yes, it does, definitely. Thank you so much. So what would be your advice to women who are, number one, going through emotional, psychological abuse in marriage? That's one. And then for women who have come out of such marriages, but they are stuck, you know, they find it difficult to trust, to love, to move ahead. What would be your
advice? I think it'll help me. So the first one is what?
The first one is for women who are experiencing emotional, psychological abuse in their marriages, what is your advice to them?
You know, you can't give what you don't have. My siblings gave me, and my parents, my family, my immediate family gave me, they built a support system. So to every person hurting out there, I hope you have a support system. I hope you have siblings or somebody there that can help you evolve and help you. Not somebody that would insult the person that inflicts, because that doesn't heal. Pain does not heal.
Yeah, it just makes for more bitterness and anger.
Telling you, pain does not heal. So I hope that they have a support system. And secondly, more importantly, it is God that heals.
Yeah.
If you heard what I said, God healed me. It was nothing about seven steps to forgiveness, seven. I'm not saying they don't exist. I didn't practice it. I don't know about it. It didn't work for me because I didn't engage with it. And everything that God took me through, that's clearly stated in His Word. God took me through. It is God who heals. If we would not heal, I must tell you, I wailed. I was in pain when God told me to forgive Him. Until I found myself say Ayo, and I called His surname, I forgive you. Want to do it. I struggled with God. I said that much. So I'm not sitting here saying that, oh, it's pretty, you just have, no. And I think, so it's not everybody that would have this kind of encounter. But I think it'll help if people would come to terms with themselves and have a meeting with themselves and begin to pray. Father, give me the strength to move in and by Your Word. Because His Word teaches us to forgive.
Yes.
And every time when we live in unforgiveness, we're carrying a garment of ill, garments, demonic oppression. That's what it is. Carrying obstruction, stagnancy, everything foul and ill, sicknesses and diseases. These are things that unforgiveness birthed. But God helped me. So the day God opened my eyes to see, I saw the demon called unforgiveness. My darling, I don't think I can't afford to hold anyone in bitterness. No matter how bad the hurt is, that thing called revenge, hurt, pain, the demons. So I beg anybody out there, if you can't do it by yourself, just talk to God about it. Father, help me to live in and by Your Word. You know, Acts 17:28 says, in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Do you know? And He, the Word, right? So change it. In the Word I live, in the Word I move, in the Word I have my being, in the Word I live. So what does the Word says? In forgiveness I live. Do you see? To be free, we need to forgive. We need to forgive, sis. We do. You can never do it. Yeah. You can never do it by your flesh. Your flesh would revolt again. You keep remembering those terrible things that the person did. That's my advice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for women who have left their marriages and they find themselves stuck in this vicious cycle of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, the road and the way to healing is forgiveness.
That is the first thing.
Yeah.
Move a process.
Yeah.
My ex left 2002. This is 2025. I've been separated and divorced for 23 years. Now, there are so many reasons why I've chosen to be like this. I'm not saying I'll be like this for life. But that's another discussion altogether. The process. And don't say, oh, there's a guy that I like and he likes me too, so let me quickly forgive this one so I can move on. No, you're not moving anywhere.
That's true.
It'll spin. Everything in life has a voice. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Until you get to a point where you see that person. Let me tell you what happened. I remember, so I went to Pastor Itua's church, because he used to be our pastor when we were in Christ Church, Bagada Lagos then. So I started his own church, so I went to his church in 2013. And I saw my ex and his wife and children. No, I saw him alone. You know, he didn't see me. So I went to church another time, maybe like a month later. And he was just walking past. And I said, hey, how's your family? How's your wife? And he said, she's gone. And then he pointed to the children's church and he said, she went to the children's church to pick the kids. I said, bring her to me now. Let me say hello to them. And there was a lady, sister beside me. So I wanted to introduce. I said, oh, hi, this is sister XYZ. And I pointed to him and I said, this is my ex-husband. I mean, my ex almost froze because he thought it was awkward, but I am free. I am forgiven. I am alive in Christ. So the wife came with the children, and I saw her. I said, hey, Mrs. XYZ, hi, how are you? My name is da 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 da. I'm sure he will have told you about me. And I said hello to the children. Bye, guys. Have a blessed week. And that's it. Until you can get to the point where you can, you're happy seeing that person is doing well. You have not moved forward. You understand what I'm saying? You have not moved forward. Just keep talking. God is the healer. It's not seven steps or three steps. No, God is the healer. If you believe Acts 17:28, then you know in the word you live. In forgiveness, you live. In forgiveness, you move. In forgiveness, you have your being. Because you say, take baby steps at a time, and you will see things, you know, unfold. And every day you become anew. Every day you grow from grace to grace, and you blossom. That's who I have become today. That's who I am today. I bless. Because I've learned to walk in Him, in forgiveness.
What a wonderful story.
Thank you,
Chalma. Thank you for listening. Can I say a prayer for every woman who is wallowing in the pain and trauma of IPV like I once was? In Jesus' name. Father, we come before you naked and not ashamed. We ask that you heal this pain and take away this trauma. We ask for the grace to forgive like you have asked us to. Help us to heal. Help us to find that peace that only you can give. Give us the strength to follow you despite all odds. We choose to do life your way. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Do join us on this same platform next week as we share more stories from more wonderful women. Thank you.